All right, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I'm excited about this message. I'm excited that you are here. If you're joining us online, I'm excited and honored that you would join us online today. And so thank you very much for being with us. And this message, God has been teaching me and dealing with me about perspective lately. And I'm telling you, I'll be real honest with you. I know the Bible changes people and God should be changing lives and things like that happen, but this message really has begun to change my life and my outlook, my perspective. And so I'm very excited about it, and I'm still growing in it, so I want to share it with you. It's going to take place from Colossians 3, if you want to turn there. Colossians 3. Before we get into the Word, I'll tell you, I have been a hunter for a big part of my life, like to hunt certain wildlife, and one of the things I learned one time when I was studying about hunting and trying to get better at hunting and shooting is, how many hunters do we have in here? If you like to hunt, and oh yeah, I knew there was a lot. Okay. So, one of the things I learned, I read this somewhere, read this study, and it said to put your hands in like this so that you have a little hole in your hand and look at something on the wall or at a distance, like a light or something like that. Try it, if you don't mind. Just look at it, both eyes open, look at that. And when you find something you're focused on, close one eye until you find the eye that you are actually looking through, looking at it. Do you know what I mean? Right? The eye that you do that the most with is called your dominant eye. Who has your right eye as your dominant eye? Raise your hand. Okay. Left eye, raise your hand. Okay. All you hunters out there, say your right eye dominant. Come on. No, it may be true. I don't know. But I was disappointed because it was my left eye. I'm right-handed. My left eye is my dominant eye. No way. I kept doing this like throughout the rest of the day. I was doing. But what I did, I was no way I'm going to change, right? Instead of shooting a bow and arrow, go left-handed, there's no way I'm doing that. So what I did is I had to try to begin to train my eyes to know that my brain says, nope, your right eye is dominant. And I read some studies, and I used to love to dove hunt. And during dove season, I would pick a spot on the wall or on the ceiling and do that. Just raise your hand up real quick and then see where your dominant eye goes to, you know. So I'm practicing. In other words, I'm trying to change my perspective. I'm readjusting my focus. Even when I begin to shoot now with a scope, I leave both eyes open. Any hunters do that? Scope with both eyes open? Some people do. They say it's easier on your face and you can actually hold it longer because you're, anyway. Let's not get into some hunting stories. Caught a fish this big though. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. I was reminded of that because I had to work on my perspective. I had to change my perspective. I had to readjust it, my focus. And I read this scripture recently, and it began to really speak to me. Colossians 3. Therefore, here, let me ask you this question first. Now, you know me, I love a good challenge. I love to challenge myself. I love to challenge you. Because if we're never challenged, we're never growing. We're never getting closer to God, and pretty soon you start backsliding anyway. It's a growing process, I believe. So let's challenge ourselves and grow. So I love a good challenge. Here's my challenging question today. what changes in my life when I realize that my lifespan on earth is just a minute part of my existence? Be real honest with yourself when you ask that question. What changes in my life when I realize that my lifespan here on earth is just a minute part of my existence? What would change? Now, one of the overall things that I think would change would be priorities. What I'm focused on, where my thoughts are, where my investment, my time and energy, my priorities. And so I got to thinking about priorities, and I believe there are necessary priorities, and I feel like there are conscious priorities. Let me explain the difference. Necessary priorities are priorities like air, food, sunshine, clothes, shelter, things like this. Those are necessary priorities. Now, those needs have been met in such fulfillment in our lives that those are not conscious priorities for me. Now, my mom and dad would say in the olden days, you know, when school was up on the top of the hill, but so was home, so you had to uphill both ways. So what they would say in the olden days, many times, because my mom and dad lived through the Depression, so if they wanted meat, for instance, one of them's going out hunting. They had to go shoot a squirrel or whatever, and they had to go hunting for meat. Of course, we know in history, there's times that if you wanted food, you had to forage, you had to grow a garden. This was a constant, not only a necessary priority, but it was very conscious. They thought about this daily. If you needed clothes, you didn't go to the store, but you had to figure out a way to make them, right? And shelter, keep your shelter fixed and working. But no longer are those a conscious priority, because we have food in our homes. We have, you know, most of us have homes. Most of us don't worry about food on a daily basis. We may think about food, but we don't worry about it. You know what I mean? But we don't think about it. It doesn't occupy our mind. What are we going to eat? Like, how am I going to get food for us tonight? It's not a conscious priority. So what happens is, when there's no longer a need for this conscious priority, it doesn't occupy my thoughts daily or my time or my energy, and other things begin to take the place of that thought and that time. Other priorities begin to filter in. We begin to have other conscious priorities because we don't have to worry about food and stuff like that. So I want to start here with this question, and then in Colossians 3, what changes in my life priorities when I realize that my lifespan on earth is just a minute part of my existence? Oh, this has been so freeing to me. Colossians 3, 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. They use the term hidden in Christ because in those days the Greek would, that's what they called people that were buried. They were hidden. They were, when they died, they buried them in the ground, they were hidden. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Keep seeking. Set your mind on things above. These are conscious priorities. He's saying, we're going to have to think about this. Conscious priorities. What is our goal? What occupies our thinking? Where is our focus and our priorities? Here's an example. Let's say I buy 5 acres and I'm going to build a house on this 5 acres. Isn't that exciting, Jill? Now, it's going to take me a year to build this house. So what we're going to have to do is buy a little travel trailer and live in that for a year. Isn't that exciting, Jill? We did that once. That's not our, wasn't the, anyway. So we get this little travel trailer, and we're going to live in this little travel trailer for a year while I'm building this house on my 5 acres. Now, obviously, I don't want to spend too much money on a travel trailer. I'm building a house. I need that money. And I'm not going to want to spend a lot of time and effort and money and worry and thought into this little travel trailer, because I'm going to spend those investments, those treasures in my life, I'm going to spend those on my future home, on my permanent home, right? Now, I'm not saying you don't want to put out a welcome mat, maybe hang some curtains, get one of those, what are those smell good things you plug in, probably need one of those in a little RV, incense or something. I'm not saying you don't want to make it look nice, you know, you want it to be nice and livable and decorated and comfortable, but it's not something that I want to spend most of my energy on because I'm building a house. And then what happens is when I forget where my priorities, if I don't keep that as a priority, pretty soon I'm saying, you know what, let's just build a patio in front of our little RV here, and little patio area, let's put a hook a picnic table up to it, let's buy new awnings for all of our windows, and all of a sudden I'm spending time on this little RV that I'm going to be living in for just 1 year. And if I'm not careful, I wake up and I have to be out of this RV in a couple of days, and I don't have my permanent home ready where I'm going to live the rest of my life. That's not ready, right? Now, I know this is just an analogy, and I know that there's holes in analogies, so don't think too far into it. But the main thing that I'm getting across is the majority of our investments should be spent towards the majority of our existence. That makes sense, right? The majority of your investment should be spent on the majority of your existence. What happens to our priorities? How do they change when we truly realize that my spiritual life is 99.9% and even more than my physical life? What changes? Mark 8, 36 and 37. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Sometimes I believe we get so bombarded with life on earth that it becomes easy to lose sight of our future home, our permanent existence, which is our spirit, the place we're going to spend the vast majority of our existence. Our temporary home slowly begins to occupy most of our thoughts, most of our time, right? I've been guilty of this. Anybody else? And I need to refocus when that happens. Because time, our thoughts, our energies, our focus is the greatest investment tools that we have. And they need to be spent on our permanent existence, not our temporary one. But in this life, we have social media, we have news, state of the country, we have violence, war, and racism. We have our government, conspiracies. We have conservative or liberal takeovers, however you want to look at it. And a worldwide pandemic, just to kind of top it all off. Now listen, these things are real, and we shouldn't be, I don't say we hide a blind eye to it. We have to understand what's going on in this world. and we don't want to skirt around the issues. We don't want to run away from them. And we don't want to pretend like they're not there, because they are there. But what we have to do is what I believe Jesus did. He impacted the world through the view of eternity, or through the view of spirituality. That's why he prayed, "Your kingdom," or "your divine rule, on earth as it is in heaven." When we view the world and everything that's going on, even though I'm going to do my best to make the best decisions that I can to make changes that's going to be good for everybody involved, even though I'm going to do this because I believe that is the godly and the Christian thing to do, I'm still going to look at it through the lens of eternity. And all of a sudden, things get clear. Things aren't muddled up with conspiracies and social medias and the lies and things like that. Things become very clear because I'm looking at it through the lens of eternity. And it's kind of given me a liberty in my thought pattern and process. And I'm still working on it. I'm still growing on it because it's not just a one-time thing. It's something that we have to deal with daily. We have to refocus daily. Right? What are we looking at? What's our goals? See, I could worry about this church and what's going to happen, because this last week, I was guilty of this. I looked at a bunch of figures and numbers and research and percentages and stuff like that. And it is not uplifting. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, even in the church life, there's negative things that are happening. I could worry about this church, but then when I look at it through the right perspective, I realize this church went great before Jeff Donaldson got here. This church will continue to go great, if God so chooses, after Jeff Donaldson leaves. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to do the very best, because I'll be honest with you. I believe in preparation. Kaylee brought this up a couple Sundays ago on Father's Day. Preparation is a big thing to me, because God deserves my best. If it's playing the guitar, singing, or praise and worship, or preaching, or praying, or whatever, God deserves my best. And number two, you deserve my best. If I'm not practicing, if I'm not rehearsing, if I'm not studying, getting the best and being the best that I can be, then I'm selling you short, God short, and myself short. And I want to do the very best that I can. So I'm not saying I shouldn't try to do well. But when I look at it through the lens of eternity, a lot of pressure gets taken off. This is God's church. Pastor Temple taught me this a long time ago. This church is God's. Right? Amen? And I'm thankful for that. It takes a weight off my shoulders. The perspective of our lifespan should be only in the light of eternity through everything that you do. And that light gets dimmed the more we introduce earthly things to divide our attention. James 4:14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. What priorities change in my life? When I realize that my lifespan physically is just a minute part of my existence, which is all spiritual. So after Paul tells us this, he's telling us to keep seeking the things above, set your mind on things above. In verses 5 through 7, he gives us a list that we need to die to. He says, die to these things. These were in your old life. Die to these things. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead too. And there's this list. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which equals idolatry, which brings the wrath of God. Now the first one I questioned was passion. Why is passion a part of that list? It comes from the Greek word pathos. And it's painting a picture of a guy that cannot control the things that he loves in his life. One who is a slave to his passions. He cannot control various pleasures of this life, whether that be food, finances, attention, cars, pornography, entertainment, whatever it may be. When you can't control those earthly desires, we can't die to those things. And that is the passion that they're talking about, pathos, which equals idolatry, which brings the wrath of God. How do these things relate to idolatry? Idolatry is the worship of something created with the power of man. They begin to occupy your time, idols do, your energy and your thoughts and your money and your focus. Remember the Israelites got in trouble all the time for worshiping idols? They would go to a new country and they would get involved in their culture. And this country would have a god, false idols, and they would fall into that lifestyle. And they got in trouble for that a lot. They would change their lifestyle in order to fit into the culture, in order to worship the idols, change their focus, the demands of a new religion and a new god, worldly desires that we should die to as Christians, Paul says. He also said this in Romans 8, 5 through 8. I love to prove Scripture with Scripture. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on flesh is death. Underline this in your Bibles. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. I want you to say this with me out loud. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So when your mind is being occupied with something other than life and peace, change it. Refocus. Remember your perspective. Listen, that happens a lot these days. There's a lot to occupy our minds. The marketing system today is constantly trying to get into your head. The devil's, the enemy's constantly trying to get into your head. Set your minds on Christ. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What is occupying your thoughts? So, since we now realize, and I know we've all known it, but when you think about the fact that our spiritual beings is the vast majority of our existence instead of the physical being, then we must also realize that we have spiritual priorities, right? Spiritual priorities. In a nutshell, our relationship with God. Amen? And this relationship, like I mentioned earlier, is an ongoing process. And I think that's very important to understand, because a lot of people think that they become Christians and then they're just kind of good to go. Just don't do anything too wrong before you die. And you'll make it. And Christianity is not that about that at all. And we're going to read some scriptures that's going to look at that. Our relationship with God needs to be an ongoing, a growing thing. And Paul mentions that. We continue on in Colossians 3, 9 through 11. He says this. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. We are equal. All of us are equal. And it also says that it is a continuing renewal process. It's a renewing. Even the words that Paul wrote in the scripture, we are new creations. That is something that's not a one-time deal, a one-off. It's a continual process. Just like the priority of food. See, when we realized that we needed food to survive, we didn't eat once and say, I'm good to go. No, because if we do without food, we eventually begin to get ill and we could even possibly die. So our priority of our relationship with God is the same as that. It should be a conscious priority of something that we need to do every day. We have to continue to feed our spirit with God, or else our spirits may eventually get ill and possibly die. Unless something is continuing and being renewed and nurturing and growing, it may be becoming ill. Jesus likens it to a vine in John 15, 4 through 8. He said, abide in me, live there, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And he talks about that, abiding in the vine. And if you don't abide in the vine, pretty soon you get brown and they cut you off and they throw you into the fire. Paul likens it to a race in Hebrews 12:1. He says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This relationship is a daily process. Refocusing our perspective is an ongoing practice. It becomes a lifestyle, becomes a culture, not just a Sunday exercise or not just this day or whatever. It's a culture, it's a lifestyle. It's something that the world needs to know, that Christianity dominates your lifestyle. It's not, I just get to go to church. It's something that regulates my decisions every day. Amen? So not just when we vote, but when we go and drive, when we go to the store, when we go shopping, or to the mall, or to the work, to school, viewing everything with the perspective of spiritual lives. Paul then continues in verse 12 through 14, gives us a way to occupy our lives. Okay, here's some things we can do instead of those old things that we died to. You ready? And it begins with the list that is directions on how to treat each other. But only to the people that are nice to you. Wait a second, that's not in here. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, rawr, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So his list includes a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing, forgiving, and love. My attention of spiritual things, when that becomes my perspective, then I grow my passion for other people's eternities. It doesn't mean that you're just so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Pastor Temple taught me that too. He said, have you ever known somebody that's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? He said, I don't want to be that either, because I want to be like Jesus. And Jesus was hugely beneficial to this earth. But everything that he did, he viewed it in a perspective of the spirit and spirituality, the view of eternity. So Paul gives us this list on how to treat other people. Other people become more important the closer we get to God. I believe that. And I think it's okay to have hobbies and to do things you like and to have passions and to have fun. But like I said, I just believe it's important to keep all of them in the perspective of eternity. We are spiritual beings first and foremost. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. We're spiritual beings first and foremost. The majority of our investments should go towards the majority of our existence. It causes me to think about life completely different. And then he continues, Paul does, verses 15 through 17, continues with some more things that we need to take care of that benefit our relationship with God and with others. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, I love this because the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Somebody translated it like this. Allow God's peace to be your decision maker. Allow God's peace to be your decision maker, the peace that's in your heart. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I have given to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just don't do it. You have peace. Sometimes it's just, I'm troubled. I don't know how to get my hands on it, but it's there. You have peace in your heart. Paul says, Jesus says, just let it. Let not your heart be troubled. Paul says, let the peace of Christ make the decisions in your heart. To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So this list is, be at peace, be thankful, let the word dwell in you, with wisdom teach and admonish each other, sing with thankfulness, do everything that you do, do it in the name of Jesus. We're in the as a representative of the family, under family authority. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So how do we put all this into practice? How do we keep seeking things above and set our minds on things above? What's something practical that I can do in my life? And I think a lot of it is mind control. It's just controlling your thinking. I didn't mean to say it like a weirdo, sorry. I think some of you got real scared, like, oh. Who is this? Controlling your thought pattern. What occupies your mind? We read a lot about in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, when Paul writes, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of God. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Mind control. Take control of the thoughts. That's one of the things that we can do that's practical in your life. When you catch yourself and you're reeling over all of this stuff or all of the bad news or social media or someone was mean to you on Facebook, refocus. Control those thoughts. Take those thoughts captive and throw them aside. My brain is one of those brains that's just constantly going. It's hard to get to sleep at night, and it's just hauling. It's just going crazy all the time. Except in the mornings, and it takes me a while. But at night and throughout most of the day, it's just going. So I have to practice this a lot. Nope, not going to think about that. And I take a thought into captivity, and sometimes I even have to do this number. Take into captivity, tie it up, throw it away. Mind control. Readjust your perspective continually. Refocus. Take your thoughts captive. Do everything in the name of Jesus. When we view our life here on earth with a spiritual perspective, like Jesus did, it brings us a confidence. It brings us a peace, clarification, and a boldness to operate in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that has been placed in your charge. Paul said to live as Christ, to die as gain. Bring it on. Whatever. It doesn't mean you're flippant with your attitude about everything, but you can't control everything, can you? Everyone has their own will that they get to follow. So what we can do is control our thoughts, control our attitudes, and begin to love. Spend time with God. Fix your thinking. Look at what has changed since the light of eternity has brightened our perspective of life. Will you stand with me, please?